Thank you so much, George. Blessings. It is good to be with you all today. One difficult day after my father had passed away, we saw a beautiful rainbow in the sky while driving to New Mexico. My mom always taught me that rainbows were a good sign, so I chose to believe that that particular rainbow in the sky meant all would be well for our family, even while in the depths of mourning and tremendous suffering. I realized that it was this belief that informed my reactions to rainbows, and whenever I have seen a rainbow in my life, I feel more hopeful. Perhaps you do as well. Because rainbows are a sign of hope and new beginnings in many cultures. For Unitarian Universalists, our history tells us that the rainbow is also a sign of a covenant with the divine, with God. Have you heard the story of Noah and the rainbow covenant from our Love Connects Us Tapestry of Faith curriculum? Let me share that with you now. It goes like this. Perhaps you've heard the story of Noah and the flood from Hebrew scripture or the Bible. Did you ever make such a mess of your homework that you just got crazy mad and frustrated and wanted to crumple the whole thing up and throw it away? Well, that's how God was feeling, looking around at the world. You pour your heart and soul into making this wonderful world full of people and animals and plants. And if you think it's easy, try getting the stripes on a zebra just right. All that effort, and for what? A year or two or 1500 go by, and the whole thing is a mess. People, what was I thinking? They're rotten to the core. They lie, they cheat, they murder, they steal. There's not a decent one in the whole bunch. Dang it all, I should just start over. Obliterate the whole mess and start from scratch. Yep, I think that's just what I'll do. God took a good look around to make sure that there were not, in fact, any decent people about to be destroyed. And it turned out that God found one good, kind, clean living family, the family of a man named Noah. And so God went to Noah and said, "This world is just plain no good, and I'm planning on getting rid of all the people except you and your family. So this is what you have to do. Build a really big boat, big enough for not only you and your family, but also a pair of every kind of animal there is. I'll give you time, but you better get on it because I'm going to rain this whole place out, and anyone who isn't on that boat is going to drown." I imagine Noah had a hard time believing his ears, but he gathered up his family and told them what he'd heard. They no doubt had a hard time believing Noah, but they trusted him. And so some of the family set about building the boat called an ark, while others went and gathered up animals. Of course, everybody else thought Noah was just plain nuts for building this ginormous boat and filling it with animals, but Noah and his family just kept right on working. And eventually the rain came. It rained and rained and rained like no rain you ever saw. It was as if the sky was full of millions of fire hydrants all opened at once. And the water got higher and higher and higher and covered the land, and the giant boat full of animals and Noah's family gently rose with the water. For days and days and nights, the rain went on until finally it just stopped. The people ran to the windows of the ark and were astonished to see blue sky and blue water and nothing else, just water and sky. There was nowhere to go and nothing to do, so they waited and waited. Finally, Noah sent a raven out to fly around and look for land, but it came back tired, for there was nowhere to rest. Noah waited a week, Then he sent out a dove to fly around and look for land, but it just came back tired too. So he brought the dove back in, waited another week, and sent it out again. This time, the dove came back with a twig from an olive tree in its beak. It had found land. Eventually, the water backed off enough for Noah to see the ark had come to rest on the top of a mountain, and there was land around them. Maybe not dry land, wet and mushy land, but land all the same. Finally, the people and the animals were able to leave the crowded, smelly ark and touch the earth. They were all overcome with gladness, and Noah made an altar to thank God for bringing them to safety. "Welcome home," said God. "I will make a deal with you, a promise, a covenant. My covenant is with all the beings of the earth, not just the people. You go forth and populate the earth and fill it again with all your kind, and I promise never to flood the earth again. And as a sign of my covenant with you, I will put a rainbow in the clouds. And every time you see a rainbow, it will remind you of our covenant to create and preserve life." When I was serving as a chaplain at a hospital, I remember being invited by a social worker to give a blessing and prayer to a group of patients who were recently diagnosed with brain cancer. The stories each person shared would bring tears to your eyes. As a cancer survivor myself, I felt their pain deeply. No one wants to hear those three little words, "You have cancer." But what I remember from that time was the gratitude that everyone felt to have their community, that community in which they could share their joys and sufferings, their triumphs and obstacles, their hopes and their fears. They needed a community to be on the journey with them, that journey in an ark in which they had no idea what they would find, when they would find land to stable them as they glided upon the choppy waters of healthcare and striving to survive. It occurred to me that this is what our congregations do for our faith. Being witnesses to one another's lives, helping us to overcome our fears and obstacles, celebrating with us during milestones in our lives. But there's something else that our faith calls us to do. And that is to bring more justice and more love to a broken world, even as we navigate our own arcs together. That is, we create and preserve life and help others to do this as well. Our communities made it possible for me to hear over and over again that day with those cancer patients. I was diagnosed with brain cancer and had no insurance. But then, because of Covered California from Obamacare, I can now have brain surgery and do chemo and radiation, and now I just may live. Wow. I thought to myself, I remember when we Unitarian Universalists marched to demand health care for all prior to that day, and I thought, what if our beloved Unitarian Universalist faith did not feel called to do work toward a world that was more just and more loving, one that actually cared about creating and preserving life? That is, Unitarian Universalists embodied that covenant, that sign of hope known as the rainbow, that reminder of what we were called to do, create and preserve life all life. I want you to sit with that a moment. It is because of our Unitarian Universalist faith and those who work toward justice that people unknown to us feel hope and love during one of the most difficult periods of their lives. This is powerful. And this is the power of a theological concept called covenant. Now, when I say this is because of covenant, I'm not speaking of the fact that we may covenant with one another each week by reciting words that state we will work together and care for one another and the world. That is a part of it, yes. But I'm speaking about a call to live in covenant with the holy. For our ancestors, this holy, what some of us may call the universe, the divine, spirit, humanity, for our ancestors, this presence was known as God, and the covenant was a promise to God that we would work for justice and love in the world, creating heaven on earth, recreating the Garden of Eden of justice and love, creating what we call the beloved community. And in turn, that God promised to help us to create and preserve life too. Today, we may not all think of it in terms of promising the divine that we will do more good in the world, but we speak of promising it to one another and to the communities of which we are a part. We are a covenantal faith. And as such, we make promises to one another and the world that justice shall reign. But it began in a covenant, a rainbow covenant with the divine. The divine promised us, and in turn, we promise the divine. So if our theology began in covenant, it should be no surprise that our Puritan ancestors decided that a covenant between congregations and members and clergy and the community was what we should have in this faith. That well-known document is called the Cambridge Platform, and it stated how we were to be in the world together as we travel in our arcs on this journey of life, called to create beloved community for all. Our Unitarian Universalist ancestors understood that a part of what we do is answer the call to be prophetic, to be the ones who are called as what they term the priesthood of believers. That is, all do ministry. All are created as disciples through service. But that ministry, that service needs to be cultivated, massaged, tended to, and sometimes challenged, especially when it's growing the wrong way. This point is important because though our ancestors believed that there was shared ministry between one another and between congregations and that there was fellowship between all, we must recognize that this covenantal relationship was not shared with all. Let us not forget that there were covenants or agreements made with the indigenous peoples of this land that were broken, creating much suffering. Why do I mention this aspect of covenant? I mention it because sometimes our congregations forget that this covenantal faith began as a covenant with the holy, the divine. And what is most holy but to create a world that is just and filled with abundant love, creating and preserving life, not destroying it. Our ancestors hurting the indigenous peoples was not about justice or love. And with so many lives taken, it was not about preservation either. This is hard. It is a part of our history that we wrestle with today. Our history is what helps to inform how we, as a Unitarian Universalist Association of Congregations, support a collective mission that focuses on embodying our principles, our values, those beliefs that claim we value each life. We value creating justice and compassion within each of us and the world. Those values that say we covenant to promote our Unitarian Universalist values in the world. So why do I mention this? Because it is a reminder that our covenants with one another, with other congregations, and then subsequently with a called minister is about being in right relationship with the divine. It is about working out a way to right the wrongs that were created in the world as a part of that ancient covenant we made with God long ago. That ancient promise to create and preserve life. And we do this by answering that call to cultivate justice and promote more love in the world, no matter what rocky journey we encounter on the sea of life. And one of the profound ways we do this is to be in a covenantal relationship with a called minister. Someone who was called forth by the congregation, called forth to be in relationship with the congregation and the surrounding community and the wider Unitarian Universalist Association, as well as the world. We call someone from among us to lead us, to guide us, and to share in this ministry of service with us. This means we answer this call in a shared ministry with a spiritual leader who helps us to identify what is most important when we fall short, calling us to be more prophetic out in the world, calling us to provide rainbows, a multitude of rainbows of hope for the most vulnerable and marginalized among us. Reminding us week after week of that covenant we made so long ago. It is a deep relationship that helps us to understand what the divine requires of us, leading us to understand how to be in that right relationship with one another and the world. It allows us to fully answer that ancient call to be the priesthood of believers, cultivating disciples of service, because our ancestors understood that a congregation needed to be in a covenantal relationship with a minister to help answer that call fully. They understood that we cannot be in an ark journeying toward land all alone. Calling a minister to a congregation means we believe that this journey can be fully embraced and embodied, and we can fulfill that promise, that covenant with the divine as our ancestors envisioned and promised. Thus, beloveds, the fact that you are contemplating calling a minister at this time means you have heard that call and you want to answer it more fully. It means you want to be those who are known as the most just, the most loving, the ones who fully live out loud the covenant promised, embodying the covenant, transforming yourselves and the world here in Anchorage and beyond. It means you understand that just as Noah understood that humanity was not in right relationship with the divine, that covenant created the symbolic rainbow in the sky means that as long as we continue to answer that call, we are moving toward right relationship with one another, with the earth, with humanity, and the divine spirit. It means we want to be on a journey in that arc together with one another and with a spiritual leader called forth to journey with us, just as Noah journeyed with all the members of the ark. This, beloveds, this is holy work. And this is what makes us whole. And this is what will help us to find that promised land when the rain stops and the rainbow illuminates the sky, bringing hope and new beginnings, reminding us that we are creating the beloved community in the world, bringing us that reminder that we are loved and we are to be love and we are love. We are love, and we are justice, and we are compassion, and we are hope. We are the hope of a promise made to create and preserve life. This is our covenantal faith, and this is our journey toward a world renewed. Why? Because we are that embodiment of love when we answer the call to be the beloved community. Ashe, and blessed be.